A renegade of the newsroom and liberator of the literary lady. Of course, I speak of none other than our muse for this series, Ms. Nellie Bly. Nellie took center stage in shaping the world of investigative journalism and fascinated her readers with her exploits into the unknown. But it wasn't easy. She had to brand herself and turn the very markers that barred her from being a traditional journalist in a male-dominated field into the critical elements of a new kind of journalism. At the time, hers was a writing style quite unprecedented, where she made herself the focus of every story. Without Nellie, there wouldn't be a story, and so they couldn't be anyone else's but her own. Nellie very cleverly developed what was then an unconventional brand of reporting in order to circumvent the boys' club of the newspaper world and to overcome the extreme prejudice against female reporters. We conjecture that not all of her stories could be shared, and it was not just due to censorship or editing or the discrimination of a patriarchal system. No, some horrors run too deep to be spoken. That is, if you're even lucky enough to live through them. More from the secret files of Nellie Bly. We have just such a tale for you in which Miss Bly encounters the 18 who survive. It was taped live in New York City on Sunday, February 24th, 2019.
Oh, Nellie, Nellie, Nellie. The girl nearly did my head in at every encounter. Never have I met someone so naturally inclined to trouble. To some, trouble just seems to occur, like an accidental slip on a wet floor or like a misplaced wallet. But no, Nellie, trouble was oxygen to her bread and butter. She sought it out the way some seek love. Maybe it was her own bizarre form of affection in some way, giving attention, shedding light where there was dark. Oh no, the darkness there is in this world. She always seemed to slip right into the cracks, finding trouble where you would never think to suspect, or perhaps just would never want to think about for your own safety and peace of mind. I recall a particular day she approached us with a new scheme, another journey into the unknown, as usual, with fire in her eyes and brimstone in her backbone.
Already. No. He's expecting me.
No, not now, Miss Bly, but honestly, please, can't you just wait for another moment? Mr. Pulitzer is in a meeting, and
then he'll be overjoyed to see me. He can't stand meeting.
Oh, yes, but...
I'm sorry, sir. I tried to hold her in, keep her out. I told her not to bother you.
It's fine, Tudor, it's fine. I've come to expect your incompetency at this point.
See, Tudor?
Yes, sir, thank you.
As I told you, he's thrilled, absolutely waltzing on air to see me. You must get some rest, Tudor. You look completely gray.
Sir, is there anything else I
can do? Yes, you can leave, Tudor. See if you can hone your assisting skills to suit a bit more adequately. Or, barring that, draw up an ad for your own replacement.
Yes, sir.
Well, well, Miss Bly, and to what do we owe the pleasure? It is no surprise, though, to be surprised by you, surely.
I dare say. I have a surprise or two left up my sleeve yet, Mr. Pulitzer. And Brisbane! Two for the price of one. Well, more's a pity for me, though. I was rather looking forward to the joy of unveiling this cracking story idea twice.
Miss Bly, a pleasure to be sure, as Mr. Pulitzer says. You're absolutely radiated today. Something extra in the pipeline, then?
Oh, you've no idea how extra, Brisbane. How does this strike you? A small town colony, shrouded in mystery and deep secrets, kept most intentionally away from society in a quaint pastoral landscape in rural Pennsylvania.
My God, Nellie, you must not mean to bother the Amish folk now. Is the news ducket so very dried up?
If you wanted to take a trip home to Pittsburgh, Nellie, you needn't have concocted a scheme to make an excuse.
Ha and ha, Brisbane. Your wit never ceases to astound. It astounds me that you consider it wit, I mean. And no, I've no interest in a trip home, as you say. This city is my home. I've chosen it. My birthplace has no bearing. It's where I hang my hat, as they say, and where my heart belongs.
And yet you are inclined to wander so frequently.
Well, my heart remains in New York, but my mind... Oh, it travels! It travels to where the stories are. And it goes, no permission asked, and as my mind alone cannot pen the tales of the great unknown, I'm obliged to follow bodily.
Yes, yes. Put the physics talk aside. Tell us, then, of your plan, as it is clear I shall have no further work and no sooner rest until you have spoken your piece.
You are a man whose mind works just as swiftly and incessantly as my own, Mr. Pulitzer, so I will waste no time, which is of great value to us both. I ask only a few days to travel to Pennsylvania, from whence I shall return with a story of deep intrigue surrounding a small village that has been established there.
You will excuse my dubiousness, yes? But why? Why in the world would the readers of the world care to hear about this tiny town, a little teensy hamlet where the civilized dare not tread?
Well, present company excluded, I'm sure, Anneli.
Oh, yes, Brisbane. I do consider it a present to be excluded from so-called civilized company. It is ever so dull, ever so deadly. To exist outside of it is a gift indeed.
Well played, well played. And these town dwellers you wish to investigate, they share your sentiments, I take it.
Oh, but of course. For would you not secret yourself away if you harbored one of the world's greatest wonders?
What wonder, I wonder?
The greatest and most mysterious wonder of them all, Mr. Pulitzer, is the one I suspect our townies keep in their possession and deep under wraps. Barely a word we've heard of its location since the fruitless wanderings of Ponce de Leon. But I believe I may have just snagged the lead of the past few centuries.
Ponce de Leon? Nelly, my God, surely you can't mean that...
Surely you joke, Nelly.
Surely do I mean, and sure serious as night, gentlemen. It is my belief that this sleepy, unsuspicious town may in fact harbor the famed Fountain of Youth.
Come on, Nelly. You don't expect us to believe that...
Oh, I've long since given up on making believers of you two. At least until well after the editions are sold and the money's been counted. But believe this. The story is there, whether the fountain is or not. A small, isolated town in rural Pennsylvania, founded years and years ago by religious zealots, led by a charismatic dogmatist who believed he held the answers to the end of days... A town where only 18 of the original inhabitants remain to this day. There's a story there indeed, and the story will sell.
Well, then I suppose you have sold me, Miss Bly. Very well. Off you go, and come back with the gold, yes?
And how many should we have at the ready to rescue you this time, eh? Though I dare say if you can handle 10 days in that asylum, a few days' trip to rural Pennsylvania should seem an absolute bore. What in the world is it that you're playing at, Nelly?
Oh, I wouldn't be so sure. We get so cocky here in the big city, so crowded in, people all around us. Perhaps we underestimate our country neighbors, who have so much more room in which to hide those larger-than-life secrets, after all.
And where exactly is your destination this time, Miss Bly?
I've saved the best for last. For what better name for this small, sweet, unassuming town where untold secrets lie in wait? A place where all sorts of big mysteries are packed into one tiny package. Yes, gentlemen, I'm heading to the village of Economy.
Always so quick with a joke was our Nelly, or at least the things she said would seem like jokes at the time. But it was truly as though she had some sort of sixth sense for these things. Sure, the world is full of all sorts of bizarre truths, but Nelly, well, she was a bloodhound of sorts, you might say. And where the normal nose would sniff out something strange, something odd, perhaps a little off, she gravitated to those tales where truth was stranger than fiction ever dared to be.
Economy is the quaintest village in the United States. It is situated on the Fort Wayne Railroad, 18 miles below Pittsburgh. Yet it is as unlike an American town as if it belonged to another part of the globe. Neither the bustle of the nearby city nor the railroad and steamboat lines ever penetrate the heart of the sleepy town. It is the home of the Economites, a society founded by a man by the name of George Rapp in Germany many, many years ago. Driven from Germany by religious persecution, they emigrated to America in 1805 and settled in Pennsylvania. What all their beliefs were is more than any outsider can ever tell. Though, their chief aim, to hear it told, was to live as the earliest Christians did, as portrayed in the writings of the apostles. And so, in 1805, they bought 2,500 acres of land in a most beautiful valley near Pittsburgh and built a village which they then called Harmony. And they dubbed themselves Harmonites. Here they settled, and here those of them who are still alive live today, albeit under a different moniker. Sadly, great and mysterious fortune befell them in the early years of Harmony settlement, and they were moved to change the name of the seemingly ill-fated village to something slightly less fanciful, less romantic. Thus, their new home became Economy, and themselves, the Economites. About 1,000 members first settled in Economy, but as their number was never increased by birth or by adoption, and as death occasionally invaded their homes, there remain at the present time not more than 18 members, the youngest of whom is 62 years old. It is said that founder George Rapp, just before his recorded death, told the others, "The world would surely end before the last member died." The 18 who remain believe it.
Lie. Miss Nellie Bly, might that be you?
Yes, I'm Nellie Bly. I don't believe I've had the pleasure, sir. You have me at a disadvantage.
The name is Saunders. George Saunders.
George, eh? After your village's founder, George Rapp.
Aye. She's done her homework, I see.
It is true, though I still can't say I recall a George Saunders in my research.
Nay, likely you wouldn't. I'm none so important. I've been sent ahead, the avant-garde, if you will, to bring you back to Economy. Miss Rapp got word that you'd be arriving today. Wanted to make sure that you received a proper welcome.
Oh, well, most kind of Miss Rapp. And of you, indeed. Is this your carriage here?
Aye, it is. Load up and we'll move right along. Daylights are burning and I expect you're ready to get settled in and get to work. Though what work you'll find in our town, I reckon I surely don't know. Unless you have some kind of special interest in old folks like us. Maybe working on a special sleep aid, boring your readers to their rest, eh?
Now, false modesty does not become you, Mr. Saunders. In fact, I hear Economy is quite the popular tourist spot, and I look forward to a most enlightening stay.
Well, you're welcome to what there's to be seen. Same as all visitors, but mind you, a visitor is what you are. We don't ask much. And we do give a mite. What we give freely, but it's what we choose to give, you see? Not for outsiders to take and take as they please.
But of course, Mr. Saunders, I absolutely will keep that in mind. Giving people they were, indeed. The Economites gave what earthly goods they possessed to their founder and leader, George Rapp, who they looked to as their father, banker, advisor, and preacher. It was he who decided that it would be more in conformity with the teachings of the disciples to live plain, simple lives, which included taking vows of celibacy. When they first took their vows, the Economites believed that the world was nearing its end. And so they lived their simple lives, preparing for the mysterious hereafter and maintaining their basic daily needs. There exists in Economy a dichotomy of both total unity and absolute segregation. On the one hand, everything is on an equality. The men are housekeepers, and so are the women. The basic dress of one is the dress of all. The men wear blue, broadcloth, long-tailed coats, wide trousers, and broad-brimmed black hats. The women also wear blue, in straight, full skirts, gathered on a plain waist of blue flannel, gingham, or silk. Their heads, indoors and out, are always picturesquely attired in bright blue silken Normandy caps. However, though they dress to coordinate and do not discriminate duty by gender, it should be noted that the sexes never mingle, not even at work. I wondered that George Saunders was allowed to come pick me up at the station, what with me being a member of the fairer sex and all. But Mr. Saunders explained to me that since I was an outsider and not one of the village's chosen, our interaction was permitted, as it had no real impact in the long run. Needless to say, I was flattered.
Whoa, oh there. That's a good gal. Swift as ever. You never mind the years. Don't let them tell you different. Never. Well, here we are, Miss Bly. You have arrived at your destination. I hope it meets all your expectations. Though what kind of expectations you have, I cannot begin to imagine.
Oh, do not play the naive card, Mr. Saunders. You and I both know that economy is a popular destination, with tourists vastly outnumbering residents. It is as curiosities so often are.
Curiosities? Fine way to talk to those who welcome you to their home. This is no menagerie for you to observe and gawk at, young lady. You and all the rest. You come in. And look and take. We put you up. Sure. No need for thanks. We'll get our thanks in the end, surely.
I do beg your pardon, sir.
Yeah. Watch my tongue, I must, or I'll never hear the end of it come Sunday, or worse, it will land me on the bench. No thank you. And good day. And good riddance, I say.
But Saunders, wait, where do I go from here? I don't know where...
I shall take it from here, Miss Bly, and it shall be my honor. Welcome to economy.
Here was Ms. Gertrude Rapp, the granddaughter of the founder, and my new guide, it would seem. Although at least 86 years old, Miss Rapp still plays the organ and leads the singing in church twice every Sunday. She is yet a pretty woman, rather petite, has large blue eyes and the whitest of white hair, which, tacked under her quaint little blue Normandy cap, makes her a perfect picture of ye olden days. She occupies the Rapp House, the White House of economy, you could call it, and not without a sense of well-deserved wonder. In contrast to the rest of the town, the Rapp House contains many costly, beautiful, and curious relics. In the large parlor are vases filled with wax flowers and fruit, which Miss Rapp made as a girl, along with many other more recent samples of her handiwork. I must say, Miss Rapp, these are absolutely gorgeous. And of your own craftwork, you say?
Ah, they are nothing much. Just baubles cobbled together from bits and pieces what are strewn around and left behind. It's my vanity, I expect, showing through. Though we eschew personal property and valuables ourselves, so many little things land here by way of our guest accidentally leaving them behind. Waste is the greatest of the sins in my mind. So after a time, I find a way to put them all to good use. Not that the others always agree.
Well, as one of the original Rapp family, I would imagine you may do just as you please, regardless of what one such as Mr. Saunders might say.
Please forgive George Saunders, as he is called. 'Tis a rare excursion for him these days to head out into the world, even to the train, and it upsets him, I think, more than he cares to admit, letting on the signs of age. It's worrisome hereabouts, with so few of us left, you see.
Oh, not at all, Miss Rapp. I do apologize if I've offended any of you with my coming here. Mr. Saunders did seem quite wrought up there. Talk of taking and getting and of getting what's coming. I'm afraid I touched a nerve.
Well, you're an educated woman, Miss Bly, and a journalist by trade. I own ye have done ye reading on us yet, to know a bit about our own beliefs here.
Well, yes, to be sure. I noted in Mr. Rapp's own writings that he held the belief it would be one of you, the Economites, who would remain standing at the end of days.
Tis so, and we believe it still.
But surely, since you've all taken this vow of celibacy, I see with no interaction between the sexes at all, in fact, and with but 18 of you left.
We believe it still, Miss Bly. You cannot question faith. Or it is as it is, at least when it is true and steady such as ours.
And those who dare question, do they get the, what was it Saunders said, the bench?
Oh, surely he's seen the bench a time or two. He may look old and aweary to you, but round here, Saunders is a right young rapscallion. I think he's wont to paint it in a much darker light than you'll see it cast in truth. Come, come. Like faith, the ways of economy are easier to show than to explain.
Everything in economy is run by rule and regulation, much as at boarding school. At 5 o'clock in the morning, the bell at the one church rings and everyone in the village rises. At 6 o'clock, every dweller sits down to breakfast, and what is eaten in one house is eaten by all. There is a day for milk soup, and one for wine soup, and for every other dish peculiar to the place. The bell rings again at 7 o'clock for all to go to work. At 9, it brings them back to lunch, at 12 to dinner. At 3, to lunch again, at 6, to supper, and at 9, it rings for everyone to put out his light and go to bed. This is, of course, except for Sundays, when all attend the church twice that day. The church itself is sweet, small, and simple, with hardly any furnishing of note. However, in the center of the church is a clear space with one lone bench. It is the bench of punishment. If anyone should be so unwise as to nod over a sermon or act otherwise than he should, their current leader, Mr. Henrici, calls the offending party out to the punishment bench, where he or she must sit until given relief and release. Rarely, I'm told, does any member ever rebel or disobey these days, though rarely, of course, does not mean never. As I was reminded on that day.
Ah, Miss Nellie Bly, I presume. I trust you have been made most welcome here in economy thus far.
Yes, and thank you, Mr. Henrici. Quite remarkable, I must say, how you all manage to accommodate these tourists and guests while carrying on your normal lives and spiritual practice.
It is all a part of it, and part of our duty and our joy. While the Lord Jesus carried on his mission of eternal life on earth, he made time for us and our souls. Indeed, what would be the point elsewise, eh? In our small way, we strive to emulate his works and deeds, and those of the apostles as well. I suppose it is seen as fanaticism to some, and perhaps that is why they bother to come here at all.
You refer, I suppose, to one such as myself.
If you feel it fits, madam, it is not for me to say what part you might play, only to welcome you with gracious spirit and hope you might leave in kind.
I assure you, sir, I have no intention of spreading any malice. My mission only is to seek out and reveal the world's truths.
Truth, you say? And what does modern man know of the truth of the Lord, left only his words all those years ago? And great words they are, to be sure. Yet it seems to me that the citizens of today run around, searching, scrabbling for more. What is our purpose, you say? What does the Lord want from us? But when faced with an answer, it seems that you are beset with agitation and discontentment. As for us, our part was assigned long ago, and we play it gratefully.
To be the final watchers of the end of days, is that correct?
You seem dubious.
Forgive me, Mr. Enrici, but with only 18 surviving members of your village remaining...
Only 18! Only 18! Hear her talk, seeking truth, and to say only 18 remaining!
Who in the world...
Never mind her. Vera is one of our eldest and dearest, and sadly the world does wear on one's perceptions over time. If you will follow me now.
Follow, follow, all we do is follow, follow, follow. You follow along too. 'Tis folly not to follow.
Ma'am, excuse me.
Take her.
Come, come, Vera. Let us have you lay down. Here, over this way.
No! I'm sorry. It's my folly. I should follow, follow. Please. No, I spoke as a fool.
Where are you taking her? No. Wait.
She simply needs to lay down, to rest. Relax. Vera, stretch out over here.
Is she taking her to the bench? The punishment bench, as you call it?
An exaggeration. You should not believe all that you read, Miss Bly, lest it is written in the Lord's book itself.
You need to get this energy out, Vera. Relax. Lay and relax. You know 'tis bad for you, for us, to be beset in such a way. Hush now. Lay.
Wait. Get it out. Get it out.
Soon you will be right as rain again. Soon. Soon.
What in the world is happening, Henry G?
Miss Bly, when you reach the right proper age of 91, as has our Vera, may we not judge you and your behavior so harshly?
It is not Vera's behavior that concerns me. You're strapping her to that bench. Some bench. It is a contraption of restraint. That's inhumane.
Look you upon her. Does she seem to hurt? Does she cry as she did before?
Well, no. She seems calm. Very, very calm, in fact.
Precisely. We are a close-knit community, Miss Bly, and we know how best to take care of our own.
But is she quite all right?
18 of us began this day, Miss Bly. Rest assured that 18 will finish it and begin another. Come, the day grows short, and I feel you have seen plenty for now.
But I have questions. We have not even seen the rest of the village proper.
The rest will save for tomorrow, I assure you. For now, I think it best you return to the inn.
Not the warmest of welcomes in this cold, harsh town of economy. But will things heat up unexpectedly for Nellie Bly? We'll find out in just a moment. This episode is brought to you by Wix. Well, what is it about Wix? It just so happens to be the place to go to easily build and maintain your very own fabulous website. We've been using Wix for FiresideMysteryTheater.com since 2014 and loving it. But we're not alone. Over 140 million people are in the know about something because they do too. Wix defines the word easy when it comes to web design. You can choose from over 500 spectacular templates or build your own marvelous design from scratch. It's super simple to play around with any of the hundreds of design features and apps to make your site truly your own. Drag and drop like a boss, my friends. Plus, everything you design is automatically optimized to look amazing on any device. Connect all your social media, your blog, or get inspired to start a new one. Are you all about making something beautiful? Add advanced design features like video backgrounds and image galleries. You can even set the image quality and sharpness of your photos. There are all sorts of design effects so you can build a website that is so you. All sites include built-in SEO tools so you're easily found online. Once you've created a masterpiece, you must share it with the world. And I tell you, it's easy even for a loon like me because Wix has an SEO whiz to guide you with a personalized plan. And if for any reason you get stuck, there's a dedicated support team at your disposal. Showcase your art, build a site for business, grow your personal brand, show the web what you got. Wix has the tools you need to make the website you need. Could it get better? Well, yes. You can get started now with 10% off by going to wix.com/podcast. That's wix.com/podcast and get 10% off. Go on, wix.com/podcast. Now, back to the 18 who survive.
The Economy Hotel has many visitors. Notably, one large room is always reserved for tramps. They are always treated just the same as the citizens. None of the economites drink water, and their guests are given wine and cider, no matter how short their call. Guests are kept overnight and, after being given some money in the morning, are started on their way. No one ever leaves Economy hungry, but to be sure, they do always leave. The economites absolutely refuse to take anyone in to join their collective, which is another reason for their dwindling numbers today. People often wonder what will become of their wealth, for in truth, they are very wealthy. Everything they engage in prospers, and it has become a saying that an economite is always lucky. The Fort Wayne Railroad travels for miles through their property, and the society owns stock in both it and the Pittsburgh and Lake Erie. The economites were among the first to find valuable oil and gas on their land, and it is said that they have more millions than members at present. Miss Rapp says she has never touched a penny since she was a baby, and that if she saw money, she would not know a 10-cent piece from a dollar. Having seen the decor of the Rapp house, I'm not entirely sure I believe her.
Are you quite all right, Miss Bly? I hope he will not catch a chill. Lantern there casts not much heat.
Oh, it is the only light I need, and barely. The moonlight is so bright tonight. These blankets you provided are plenty snug, thank you. Soon I shall finish up for the night and adjourn.
I recommend it. It will be an early morning for one not used to our ways. Ye are most welcome to sleep here, but she must wake with us as well. It is the way of it.
I imagine I will be fine. Oh, there is still much I want to see. That over there, for instance. I can barely make it out in the moonlight, but it appears to be a large wall. Another building so far off?
Ah, it is the garden you have spotted. Well seen. And look you from here, for it is unlikely ye will get a much closer look than this. We do not put in too much for sacred ground, other than that on which the church sits, but it is close.
How so?
As ye have noted, we have experienced loss, death of our members through the years. Is it not right that we keep them close still? That they remain with the community even after?
A burial yard, then.
Yes, dear. Nothing so exotic now, is it? Do not let your mind make mountains out of grave hills.
Well, then why may I not visit?
Some things are not for outside eyes. Surely even you can appreciate the need for some privacy. Ye would give us that much for all we give so openly.
Of course. Pardon my asking.
Will you need anything else tonight, Miss Bly?
Not at all. Thank you again, Miss Rapp. I expect I will turn in quite soon.
Yes, I think it best you do.
Soon, of course. Soon as I do a little final investigating for the evening. The Rapp Garden is another beautiful spot, especially by moonlight. It is surrounded by a high, ivy-covered stone wall and is well-stocked with modern and ancient flowers. A heavy door, still covered with the bark of the tree, keeps intruders out. The only modern building in the whole village is within these walls. It is a costly green house. According to Miss Rapp, when an Economite dies, he is wrapped in a winding sheet and buried in the white graveyard near the greenhouse. No tombstone ever marks his resting place. In the center of the garden is a mound where the Indians buried their fallen after a battle with the French. Scientists have, in value, offered large prices to the Economites for the privilege of opening it, but the Economites refuse, apparently due to having an unusually high regard for the dead. Rapp was correct. I believe I would have more use of this lantern if it were to give off heat, not light. Oh, the moon. Have I ever seen it shine so brightly? And look here. I can even read this inscription on the garden wall quite clearly. George Rapp, founder of the Harmony Society, born 1767. Well, that is all, it seems. There's no death date listed.
None needed. As economy lives, so does George Rapp.
Oh, my goodness, you frightened the wits out of me.
I suppose I should apologize. But it would seem you are where you ought not. Struth?
Well, what is it to you?
This is my place to watch and keep. To protect the garden while yonder sleep.
The groundskeeper, Tobias. Miss Rapp did mention you earlier, as I recall.
She also mentioned, I am sure, the garden is not for looking upon uninvited.
I confess, I was rather drawn in by the mystery of it all. This place is strange.
Strange to a stranger and ever stranger, I wager. This world... it cannot go quick enough. Almost time. Almost time.
Do you think so? Truly, that you shall see the end of days?
Aye, perhaps me, or one of 17 others in this place.
And who shall it be?
Remains to be seen. Who follows the ways of Mr. George Rapp? Who speaks out? Who must need punishment?
The bench. What does that have to do with...
The years, they come naturally, and they may be taken away, sure. But so, too, may they be added.
I am sure I do not follow all of this. And how Mr. George Rapp convinced you to take part in this faith?
He leads by example, lady. How else?
How do you mean? The garden door! How is it? Who is in there? And the light. Well, that's the light from the greenhouse. It cannot be the moon. What?
So sorry to wake you early, George. 'Tis not the time. But mayhaps you and the others need a little something. A little bit to sustain you, even ahead of schedule.
No, stay away. Stay away.
Do not worry, lady. You will not feel pain nor remember it either. And in your heart, you will know truth, though your mind may not comprehend, and your soul may rest in peace, that a part of it will be carried on past the end of days.
Please, let me go.
Just a little longer and ye shall wake up peacefully and on your way. Nothing more to see or to share. No need to remember. We 18 remember for all of you, and so we will until the very last of us acts, the very last of all of us.
Please. Please. Please.
My room with the rest of the town and the guests. I slept, I know, but I woke feeling more worn than the night before. I had the sensation I had traveled miles in my sleep, though not on land. It was as if somehow I had taken an arduous journey through time. Strange. Suddenly I wished for nothing more than to be home and away from economy. I had seen enough, and I dare say Miss Rapp agreed. The economites dislike to be written about, because so many who read of them write to them afterwards and want to join them, or come to their village, which is as private as any home. Visitors are welcome, but only for one night. It seems the economites are content with those 18 who remain. Only 18. Why does it seem to me now like enough? Like too many. I am weary, and my time in economy has clouded my thinking. The world does not seem nearer its end than it did when George Rapp founded this quaint society, yet his followers are firm in their faith that their last member will see its end. It cannot be many years, though, I imagine, until his disciples will all have followed George Rapp's footsteps through death's grim portals, as they did through life. And then what will become of economy? And a more unsettling thought that I find I cannot shake. What will then become of us all?
It was not often that I saw Nellie Bly shaken. But the woman who stepped onto the platform from the train that day was visibly altered. She was uncharacteristically quiet on the way back to the office, saying only that her trip to economy was a trifle more than she'd bargained for, and complaining of a fierce headache. More than her mode of behavior, it was her appearance that disturbed me. She looked to have aged 5 years just over the past few days. Then after a few days, she seemed bright as rain again, almost as if she had reset to the moments before her trip, and indeed, finishing the story seemed to purge the whole venture from her mind entirely. She would never again speak of her time in the small Pennsylvania town. Her final report told the story of a strange village indeed, but I had to read between the lines to get the slightest hint of the deeper truth. Nellie had gone in search of something secret, something sinister, and no doubt she found it. At night, sometimes, her pale face descending the train stair comes to my mind, and I cannot help but wonder what she knows deep down, and whether or not, given the choice, I would ever wish to know myself.
While strolling along with the city's vast throng, on a night that was bitterly cold, I noticed a crowd who were laughing aloud at something they chanced to behold. I stopped for to see what the object could be, and there on a doorstep she lay. crowd's angry jeers. Then I heard somebody say, I want tea. She may have seen better days when she was in her prime. She may have seen better days once upon a time. Though by the wayside she fell, she may yet mend her ways. Some poor old mother is waiting for her who has seen better days. If we could but tell why the poor creature fell, perhaps we'd be not so severe. The truth were but known of this outcast alone, perhaps we would all shed a tear. She was once someone's joy, cast aside like a toy, abandoned, forsaken, unknown. Every man standing by had a tear in his eye, for some had a daughter at home. She may have seen better days when she was in her prime. Oh, she she fell, she may yet mend her ways. Some poor old mother is waiting for her who has seen better days.
And that was the 18 who survive. Arthur Brisbane was played by David Linton. Tudor was played by Eric Davy Gislason. Joseph Pulitzer was played by Alan LaForest. George Saunders was played by Michael Pate. Gertrude Rapp was played by Mary Murphy. Henrici was played by James Reeser. Vera was played by Casey LaForest. Tobias was played by James Kleinman. And the part of Nellie Bly was played by me, Ali Silva. The song She May Have Seen Better Days by James Thornton was performed by Martina Da Silva, accompanied by Nico Slater. The 18 Who Survive was written by Courtney Gillian Cholovich and directed by Holly Payne Strange. Thanks to Wix for supporting this episode. Don't forget to go to wix.com/podcast to get 10% off. More from The Secret Files of Nellie Bly was produced by Gustavo Rodriguez and me for Fireside Mystery Productions. Our musical score is improvised and performed by Nico Slater. Our sound effects designer and engineer is Joe Young. Our technical director at The Slipper Room is Johnny Goddard. Our production assistant is Brontes Shane Orengo. Jason Graves composed our theme music, and I manage our audio post-production. Just like our inspiring Ms. Bly, the small band of storytellers and audio drama makers of Fireside Mystery Theater work very hard to bring you deliciously dark and delightful audio entertainment. But we need your help to sustain this creepy thing we love and to enable our Fireside Flames to grow. Consider becoming our very own Patreon patron. For a dollar or two or more a month, you could provide vital support for what we do and help us to achieve our future goals. In exchange, we have some special perks for our Patreon patrons. How about a postcard from Sunken Harbor? Exclusive discounts on our merch? A personalized audio thank you from one of our fabulous cast members? A classy limited edition lapel pin? We have perks for all different monthly sustainer levels. Check them out and become an FMT Patreon patron today by going to patreon.com/firesidemysterytheater or just follow the link from our website. As ever, we are so grateful for any support you give to help us keep the embers of our fireside flickering. And now we've just got to share a heap of thanks to our amazing Patreon patron, Jeff Goldman. Dearest, darling Jeff, who so faithfully adds fuel to our fire every month, we are so grateful. You sweep the cobwebs from our hearts and set us aglow. If you haven't already, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Fireside Mystery. Go on and like us on Facebook, too, and stay up to date with all things FMT. When we were last in the town of Sunken Harbor, some troubling things started to happen with a strange batch of strawberries and some cursed clay. Sounds pretty weird, huh? Well, trust me, it's only gonna get weirder. Book a trip for our next journey to our favorite enchanted town, Sunken Harbor, K-I-S-S-I-N-G. We'll be taping live on Sunday, April 28th at 5 p.m. at the Slipper Room. Tickets are on sale now at slipperroom.com or follow the link from our website. Be sure to catch up with our past Sunken Harbor episodes to get you in the mood. Coming up next from Fireside Mystery Theater, more shocking adventure awaits our dear Ms. Nellie Bly. Let's hope the quality of the Band of Mercy is not strained under her investigative scrutiny. Nellie had to navigate an unwelcoming, male-dominated system to report the stories of marginalized people, and often act as their advocate while fighting marginalization herself. And of anyone who has traversed the bleak and murky corners of society for scoop, Nellie most certainly knew to mind the shadows.